Right now, we're talking books, and joining us here in the studio is the lovely and talented Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Hello.
Hey. So I was going to lead with Ni Hao, Aaron, because we're going to be talking about the Chinese Light Up Festival.
Yes.
But when I heard your intro, I'm going to lead with, and we're about to lose all of our listeners, I'm going to lead with, Go Hokies!
Yep, we just lost all of our listeners.
I am so excited. I'm going to be at the game.
You're going to be at the game rooting for Virginia Tech?
Yes, and I'm going to be wearing my Tech colors.
Man, we did such a great job over the last year and a half building up a loyal listenership and a fan base. And people tune in just for this, and then you come
Every
on and it's like, go Hokies.
Day, I root for UNC.
Uh-huh.
And I think that UNC super fans would understand
Yes.
my plight from one fan to other true fans.
Okay.
But not only that, my sister's going to be in town, and so there's going to be two of us.
Oh, so just
loud,
like extra
tall,
loud,
obnoxious.
Extra, oh, good Lord.
All of our tech gear. And she like does it up.
Yeah.
Beads, jewelry, hair, jacket, all of it. So we'll be the ones.
All right. Sounds good.
Looking forward to it.
I can't fault you too much because I grew up in Michigan, so I'm a Michigan State fan. And UNC and Michigan State play each other on a disturbingly regular basis in a whole bunch of different
and
sports.
And you go and you root for
so
Michigan State,
So I go and
State,
root for Michigan
right?
State, right. Yeah, it's not this is a rivalry thing within a conference, though. You have to root for, like, first place as well. UNC plays Michigan State. It never matters. It's
right.
never mattered
I mean,
when
truth
UNC
be told,
plays
it's probably
Michigan
not gonna
State.
Matter
That's probably not
going to
matter
it.
Either.
But, you know.
Also, there's the 09 championship game, but you know, whatever.
I did take a great deal of joy in NC State beating Duke
that
Monday
was
night. That was awesome.
Impressive, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So right,
Ni Hao.
I was gonna start
yes.
with Ni Hao, but then so
uh-huh.
even before you mentioned my dear
ever
and mighty Hokies,
I
have to say this other thing occurred to me, and I don't know if anyone else has noted this, but I feel like they have. So listeners out there, imagine with me, since WCHL moved into this studio, every week I come in here
uh-huh.
and there's these doors to enter the you know main
right.
suite.
Yes.
And there's a sign on one door. And what it says is, please use this
other
door. But what, like normally when you see those signs, the signs say, please use other door.
Mm.
But so you had the sign up on the left saying, please use this door.
Yes.
And every week I pulled on the right door.
Uh-huh.
But now you have permanent signage which says, please use other door.
Right.
And so, like, it's mentally now right again. It's a
That's
really
good.
Small
That's
thing.
Good.
Again, we're losing the few viewers or listeners that were hanging on, but it made a difference in my experience at WCHL.
You are also supposed to push the door.
Okay.
It swings both ways. It swings both ways.
Anyways,
yes.
something different happened with the door, and I'm on board with it.
That's good.
Because I'm
That's
not
good.
Goofing up.
Have we mentioned that it's real hot in here? Every single weird conversation we have can be attributed to the heat. It's
and now,
it's sunny.
But wait, this
but
is
wait,
not
going to
be a weird conversation.
Because?
Because you,
uh-huh.
my friend Aaron
uh-huh.
Keck,
yes.
this is
yes.
the place where we are going to break the news and make a very
Ooh.
Big announcement. And then we'll talk about the Chinese Light Up Festival.
Yes.
I believe I'm able to say this, and even if I'm not, I'm going to go
say
ahead
it anyway.
And say it.
Right, right.
Big news
Uh-oh.
On Sunday, March 19th at 3 p.m. in Meeting Room B.
Was this the thing that you were telling me about 2 weeks ago that there was going to be big
yeah.
news? Ooh, okay.
So Sunday, March 19th, 3 p.m. in uh-huh. Meeting Room B, Newbery Award-winning author and big name, Kwame Alexander is going to be at the library.
Ooh.
We are partnering with Flyleaf Books. It's going to be standing room only, I can guarantee it. If you don't know him, he is amazing. He's won the Coretta Scott King Award. He's won the Newbery Award. He writes wonderful books where basketball serves as a metaphor about African-American youth and all kinds of thing in life and just all of it. He is fabulous, and we are so excited.
March 19th?
This is the first time I think we've spoke of it out there There you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this.
It's a big deal. So there's some details to know. He's going to be signing books.
Okay.
The deal that he has with Flyleaf is that in order to be a part of the signing, you have to buy his book, which is a common bookstore thing.
Yeah,
the public talk is free and open to the public.
Nice.
So more details coming, but if you're a fan of him, and this is going to be big, big, big.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
I just learned this. He went to Virginia Tech. I didn't know that.
Really?
You're not just making that up?
Something good has come out of Virginia Tech.
Two good things have come out of Virginia Tech.
Susan Brown's sister and Kwame Alexander.
Oh, she's going to love hearing that. Oh, Aaron, why did you do that?
Mostly for the Schadenfreude.
So, any hoozles,
ready for it? Yes.
Ni hao, Aaron Keck.
Ni hao, Susan Brown. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's great. And we're talking about the Chapel Hill Light Up Lantern Festival, which is coming this Saturday, the 28th, right here to University Place, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Chinese lantern decoration, crafts, food, a lantern parade, a dragon dance, and a totally fun day for the whole family featuring the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Have you had these ladies and the organizers on the show?
Not on this show. I think they were on the Morning with Ron, but they're great.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm super excited about this on Saturday. It's going to be huge.
They came to us, this was a couple months ago, and they said, we're planning this little event. We have an idea with the library, like to partner with it. And often it's just, you know, we do a story time or something, or we have a table. And they had a very specific idea in mind. And then after the meeting, they were sort of saying, oh, it's just going to be this like small festival. Then we realized it's going to be a huge festival.
Yeah.
Like, this is a major new community celebration. So what we're going to have, and it's been great working with them, is we are sponsoring the Good Day Chapel Hill booth.
Okay.
So it's going to be an interactive booth where you can step in. We're going to have all of our digital media lab equipment there. So you might step in and there'll be some cue cards and you could say, I'd like to read the cultural news about pandas.
Okay.
And we'll put a interactive backdrop of pandas behind you with our green screen and everything.
Okay.
We'll have cue cards, and you can read a cultural news segment
about
pandas.
Oh, nice. So you're putting together a news story.
And it's going to be live broadcast on a big screen. We're going to be down by Aveda. So they had the concept.
So you're right in the middle of everything, too.
Yeah. And so it's going to be super fun. And it's really, it's a way to bring a different concept of the library out there. So yes, books, yes, programs, yes, story times, but also
digital media,
all of that. So it's going to be super fun.
That's really cool. We're really excited.
And the festival sounds awesome.
Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you're going to be there all through
My staff will be there all day. I will be stopping by throughout the day. The library will be there yes.
for these 7 hours.
We have
Susan
great
Brown, the only employee of the entire Chapel Hill Public Library.
Yes. We will be there all day.
Very cool.
Awesome library staff. So we used China as our prompt.
Very cool. So, yeah, China is our prompt. There are so many great books about China. We could take this in so many different directions. So how did you take it?
I got lots of things.
I've got lots of things, too.
Well, la-di-da. Let's go.
So, all right, go for it.
The first one, speaking of authors who have been at the library, like Kwame Alexander coming up in March, which is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Another really big author who has since gotten even bigger. We had him at the library in partnership with Flyleaf, I want to say about a year and a half or 2 years ago, is an author named Gene Yang.
Mm-hmm.
He is a wonderful Chinese-American graphic novelist. He has been a MacArthur Genius Grant Fellow. He is the current ambassador for Young People's Literature, which is a national title, and he just writes fabulous books. So I want to mention a couple of them,
mm-hmm.
all of which I think you would like. One is his graphic novel called American Born Chinese.
Okay.
My older kid loves this book so much, like he draws fan art, like he like redraws the characters.
Wow.
American Born Chinese is a graphic novel for sort of middle grade readers. And it's got three different storylines in it. One is about a young Asian American middle school student who's really trying to fit in with his white classmates.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this really funny plot of another teenager who is trying to transfer schools because he's so appalled and embarrassed by his Chinese cousin. And then And I talked about a monkey sidekick last week, but the other storyline is the Monkey
King.
When
have you not?
The Monkey King, who is this Chinese cultural god folk hero who is trying to struggle with his identity. It sounds weird. It's this fabulous book all about fitting in, alienated kids. All three storylines kind of weave together. It's such a great book. Really,
awesome.
Really great book. The other book that I thought that you would like is he's known for, it's two graphic novels together called Boxers and Saints.
Okay.
And it's a two-volume graphic novel story of the Boxer Rebellion.
Okay.
So the Boxers book is narrated by a little boy who becomes a leader of the Boxer movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saints book is the story of a girl who's from the same village where he's from. She becomes a Catholic, and her sort of quest is to emulate Joan of Arc. So it's really cool storytelling. It's telling
That's
the
awesome.
Same event from two points of view in a graphic novel format. It's
Boxers
awesome.
And Saints.
And I have
okay.
to talk about one more.
All right,
and then
go
I'll
for
stop
it.
Talking.
All right, all right, all right.
The other book, again, that my older son just loves is called Shadow Hero. So Jin Yang's all about Chinese culture and Chinese American culture. And what he did with Shadow Hero is he brings back, there's an obscure 1940s comic book hero, the Green Turtle, and he was originally supposed to be Chinese. And when the book ended, or when the comic book came out, they basically never showed his face, so
uh-huh.
you didn't know that he was Chinese. So
okay.
Jin Yang brings back that character and sort of fleshes out his story and the origin story of him, and it's fabulous. So
nice.
It's that sort of superhero thing, which we generally think of white and Western, with this Chinese cultural overlay on it. Jin Yang is amazing.
Awesome. Okay,
so there,
I don't know if I'm
going
to be able to top that, but I've got a couple. So the first one that I thought of, just sort of trying to understand the sort of Chinese-American experience, is the book that I think a lot of people have read, which is the one that I read in high school, which is Amy Tan's Joy Luck Club. So first on the list. But then I started digging, and I found this one was nominated for a Pulitzer a couple of years ago. It's a book, Evan Osnos, I think is how you pronounce his last name, Osnos. It's a book called Age of Ambition, Chasing Fortune, Truth, and Faith in the New China. It's kind of a journey across the country and trying to understand the development of China just in the last, like, I think 10, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. the way that the economy has developed, the way that the culture has developed, and the way that everything has changed just in the last 20 years, and trying to understand it and make sense of it in a way that is simultaneously interesting and informative, but also a lot of fun to read. And everyone that I have seen writing about this has said exactly the same thing, which is it doesn't matter if you know a whole lot about China or if you know nothing at all about the country. And anyone who's trying to write about China for American audiences has to sort of skirt that line between the two, because most of us know nothing at all. And then there are the people who are going to be more likely to buy those books first, who know everything and don't want the rehash,
right.
because that's just boring. Regardless of what perspective or background you come from, this is a really engaging and fun book, and you will get a lot out of
and
it.
Tell me
so,
the title
Age
of it.
Ambition, Chasing Fortune, Truth, and Faith in the New China, and it's by Evan Osnos, I think is how
that
it's pronounced.
That sounds great.
Yeah, good book.
So the next book I brought forward is also rooted in Chinese American culture, and
mm-hmm.
this is a book, I love this book. I've read it a couple times, and it's a book that you can read, you know, parts of and don't have to read it cover to cover. It's called The Fortune Cookie Chronicles by Jennifer Lee. And it started out as, I think, an essay for a magazine about... In the early 2000s, there was this weird case where there was this inordinately high number of Powerball winners. And they thought that this was a big scam,
uh-huh.
like somebody was gaming it. It turns out they traced it back to what?
Fortune cookies?
Fortune cookies.
Oh,
numbers
did everyone get
printed
the same fortune,
on fortune cookie?
Cookies. Oh,
yes.
Nice.
So that's the entree. So if I recall correctly, she starts looking at that, and then she goes into the origins of the fortune cookie and where it comes from and how they're produced, and then she ends up writing this whole book. It's a series of articles or of essays about It's food history. It's cultural history. She delves into the origins of General Tso's chicken. Mm. She's got a whole part about Jewish culture and Chinese food and how the two intersect.
Yes.
It's a really, really great book. If you liked Julie and Julia, if you like food writing, if you like cultural histories, really, really readable and super interesting.
There
the
was
Fortune
a,
Cookie Chronicles.
There was a period when I have this in Lansing, Michigan, where I grew up and where my parents still live. It just closed, this really, really great Chinese restaurant that had been open forever. And my parents would go on a fairly regular basis. And there was a period when my mom like really loved fortune cookies. And this was when I was just starting out in grad school and I was in New Jersey. So we went up to New York City every couple of months, far less often than the brochure promised we would be able
right.
to do, by the way.
Right,
Rutgers.
Sure.
But we did get up there periodically when we were able to get away from grad school. And there was one time we were up there, we went to Chinatown. I was like, oh, I should, you know, not that they're the most authentic things in the world, but I should buy my mom like real mm-hmm. fortune cookies from Chinatown. So I go into a Chinese restaurant and they've got like one box sitting on the counter and then another box sitting next to it. And I sort of arbitrarily grabbed the one bag out of the one box. And I'm like 2 seconds away from paying for it when my friend leans over to me and says, are you sure you want those fortune cookies?
Are they the naughty ones?
They're the naughty
the
ones.
Naughty
yeah, yeah.
Cookies.
Big
I
old naughty fortune
experience.
Cookies that I was about to buy for my mom. I did not.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good,
good times.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York travels.
Whose turn is it? It's my turn.
I think it's, yeah, go
is
for it.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Who's counting?
It's my turn. So,
is it your turn?
Yeah, I'll mention two really quick ones. So trying to understand China today is Evan Osnos. Trying to understand China in general. I would encourage, if you're interested, I've been trying to read religious texts from just a whole bunch of different faiths over the past few years. And I'll mention Confucius's Analects, which are worth reading. But the one that I would recommend is the Tao Te Ching, which is very, very short. I'm sure I just mispronounced it, but that's fine because I'm American and we mispronounce everything, including our own language. It's very short. It's meaningful in a way that I personally find a lot of religious texts not to be. This one spoke to me, and it's a completely different...
Could you say that title again, Aaron?
No. Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. And it's worth reading. Short, it's a completely different worldview, completely different perspective than you get from just sort of everyday American culture, and worth reading as a counterbalance at the very least, if not the balance that like tips you over onto this side.
Okay, speaking
way.
Of Confucius
yes.
and mispronouncing things,
yes.
the next author and the last one that I brought, mm-hmm. I don't know how to say his name, but
okay.
I love his books.
Yeah.
His first name is spelled Q-I-U.
Okay. Chu?
Maybe.
I think.
And his last name is X-I-A-O-L-O-N-G.
Yep.
So there you go.
Okay.
He is a fabulous author. Mm. So I love to read mystery novels that are set in places where the setting itself and the culture is almost a character.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love to read. Donna Leon writes these mysteries set in Italy. I love mysteries. There's a series that I love to read that are set in Paris because you feel like you're going there without actually going there. So these are set in China. They're set in Shanghai, but the author, I'm just going to say Qi, you think?
Okay.
The author, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
He's a really interesting character in and of himself. He was a scholar. He was born in Shanghai. He came to the U.S. in 1988 to write about T.S. Eliot, to research and write about T.S. Eliot. Tiananmen Square happened,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up staying here. He remained here to avoid persecution
by the
Communist Party. So I believe he is still in St. Louis, and he writes these wonderful mystery novels that are set in Shanghai in the 80s, and they have that great sort of trope of the cop with the heart of gold or the cop who, like, goes home and he listens to, like, jazz. So his cop is the detective, or he's the chief inspector, and he loves poetry. So he's always quoting Chinese poets and Confucius And then, nice. Of course, he's got a sidekick, but they're about modern China, and they take crime fiction as a way to look at all of the cultural issues happening. The first one is called The Death of a Red Heroine. They all have great titles.
Okay.
And there are 7 or 8 in the series, and we, I believe, have them all.
Nice. Chu Xiaolong, I think is how that's
yes.
pronounced. Yes. Xiaolong, I think.
Xiaolong?
Yeah.
That's
I don't know for sure.
It.
Yes. All right.
We could find out. I bet we could ask the good folks who are doing the Light Up Festival,
yes.
and they would tell us.
Absolutely. They might look at you funny and be like, I'm trying to do a festival right now.
I know them. We're going to be there.
Oh,
they're
not
super
at the
awesome.
Okay,
oh.
before the festival starts, like
or
after
the
festival.
Festival.
Okay.
I'll just say they are some of the most devoted and organized and committed folks.
Really
this is a totally volunteer-run thing,
yeah.
and they're awesome. We have a display up at the library of some of the lanterns. They're going to have a lantern auction. There's going to be a dragon dance. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
I cannot wait.
chlightup.org if you want more information about the Light Up Lantern Festival. But again, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. here at University Place. Bring the whole family. There's going to be so much cool stuff, and you're not going to want to miss it. Susan Brown, thank you so much.